Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast.
Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. I'm here today with Mom. It's just Mom and I today, and we are beginning to tackle the very relevant topic in our time right now of homeschooling, whether you want to call it homeschooling, distance learning, whatever you want to call it, we are all doing it right now if you have school-age children. That actually struck me the other day. I took the kids to the park, kind of the end of a long day, and there were a bunch of people there, and I was kind of surprised. Usually the time of day that I was going, there aren't very many people, and there were a ton of families there. And I all of a sudden realized, oh, wait, it's because they're all homeschooling just like I am. I'm very much not alone in this. But with that, I know I'm very much not alone in having to combat the overwhelming feelings at times that I'm not doing enough. We started homeschooling our kids pre-pandemic, actually. So we are some of the few that actually did it by choice. So we're about, you know, a little less than a year and a half in. But I know that has been just something I've had to fight. But Mom, you homeschooled for how many years did you figure out?
I think I figured out it was like 26 years.
Oh my gosh.
With 1 year in there where I got a break and didn't homeschool. Actually, by choice.
That's a lot of years. So you have a few more years under your belt than I do. Mm-hmm. But did you experience this? Like, how do we, and what I mean by it is, like, more than anything, a feeling of not doing enough in a lot of areas. So what I'm hearing a lot from parents and what I know I've felt is academically, mm-hmm. like, man, this doesn't take very mm-hmm. long. Shouldn't I be doing more? Or I'm not getting to all of these extra things that I want to add. So not feeling like you're doing enough academically, or maybe you do feel like you're killing it academically, but you feel like you're not doing enough as a wife, or you're not mm-hmm. doing enough mm-hmm. with your younger kids, or just this overall theme of not enough, not enough, not enough mm-hmm. that just kind of looms. So how did you combat that? I'm basically going to ask you all of the questions that I'm feeling and assuming that everybody else is also feeling with me.
Well, I'm not sure that I ever completely won that battle, yeah. And nor am I sure that we're ever able to completely have confidence that we're just doing a stellar job in every area of our lives. We put too much on our own shoulders for one thing. And for another, homeschooling and education and raising children, it's so endless. You're never actually done and complete. Mm-hmm. You just can't tie it all up with a neat and tidy bow and say, there, I did great for this year. We learned everything we were supposed to learn.
Wouldn't that be nice?
For one thing, you just told me last night when we were talking about this that you can hardly remember anything I taught you. I thought, okay, okay.
Well, okay. Well, with that though, I think that's important to give people hope. I was homeschooled until high school. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Really, the only thing I remember is I had a yellow spelling book.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was, and Saxon math. That mm-hmm. those are like the things mm-hmm. I remember. And I remember getting school done as quick as we could so we could go ride our horses. Yes. Those are the extent yes. of my memories. Sorry,
great
Mom.
Motivator back then.
But what I will say is even though I don't remember what I learned, I do remember feeling very prepared when we went into high school mm-hmm. that I knew how to learn. Mm-hmm. And I knew mm-hmm. how to study for tests. And I knew mm-hmm. like because that had been being instilled in me. Mm-hmm. while being homeschooled. So it's not even that I needed to know all of the information, mm-hmm. but I knew how to learn it. And I think that has helped me recently with my own kids mm-hmm. of seeing how education in general, but especially home education, is so not linear. And yes. I am such a linear thinker.
Yes.
But realizing, man, we all have gaps in mm-hmm. our mm-hmm. learning and you in do. Our education, but we have endless resources to go learn stuff ourselves if we know how.
And if you know how, and if we're internally motivated, which yeah. I know we're going to talk about a little bit more, but to the question of feeling inadequate, it is part of the burden of being human that we have to accept and also reject and say, no, my adequacy is in Christ.
Yeah.
He more than anyone wants to help me educate these children. And so I'm going to just sit in my weakness and do the best that I can. But also, I think it starts with, to quote a famous best-selling book, it starts with why.
Yeah.
What is your why of homeschooling? And it's important that we're honest about the why. Some of you are homeschooling because you have no choice yeah. this year.
Your kids, why is COVID-19.
That's exactly. And yeah, that and is a okay. very valid choice. Yeah. That is what it is. You don't know when your kids are going to get in school, or they're only going a couple of days a week. And mm-hmm. so you really are carrying the burden of their academic progress, even if a teacher is giving it to you online. You're the one who has to actually make them yeah. get it done. Mm-hmm. Others have chosen, like you have, Elizabeth, like I did, to homeschool because they think it's best, the best fit for their children, for their family, for their mm-hmm. home. Right now in this particular season. And most of those people are using some sort of a curriculum that they can kind of check off mm-hmm. the list and at least have a little bit of a feeling of, okay, at least I finished the work.
Yeah.
And some have chosen to homeschool, but they're using like some sort of a distance learning online sort of thing. And there's some security that you feel like, well, we completed the course of study for the year.
Yeah.
Whether or not your children remembered anything you taught them, that's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. But your why determines what helps you're going to be using. And even how you organize your days and your homeschooling days.
Yeah.
Even more, because we are followers of Jesus and unapologetically wanting to, aiming to make disciples of our own children. Our why is bound up in the scripture. In Ephesians 6:4, you know, we always quote it talking about the beginning of it, which says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. And of course, moms would love that to be all on the dads, but we're pretty good at provoking our kids to anger. And so we immediately stop there and think, oh my gosh, I did it again today. I lost my temper. I poked a little too hard, teased a little bit too much. Provoked my child to anger, but then we forget the next. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Hmm. And if you study the Greek intricacies of those words, discipline, bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, the people who read that would have completely understood that the parents were responsible for all kinds of education of your child. Mm. That it would have been unheard of to think that we would delegate this completely to the state or to the government. So what does that mean? It's just this, that the education of your child is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. How you choose to carry out that responsibility, however, is not a question of right or wrong.
Yeah.
Or even of better or best. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of judgment and instinct and intuition and wisdom, as knowing what is not only what best for your child, mm-hmm. but best for your whole family.
Yeah.
And that will help you choose as far as what kind of curriculum, how long you're going to keep at it, how hard you work at it, mm-hmm. how easy you go on a child. Yeah. Is your why. Why are you really homeschooling?
Yeah, which I think is so important, uh-huh. because, you know, I feel like it can sometimes seem like, well, the people who are homeschooling think that's the absolute best,
yes.
and public school is the worst, and how could yeah. you send your kids? Mm-hmm. And the people who are sending their kids to public school have oftentimes really strong views about that, mm-hmm. or think, well, there's no way in the world I could ever homeschool. And mm-hmm. and I think what we're trying to say is there isn't a right or wrong. Mm-mm. It depends on so many things, mm-hmm. where you live, your stage of life, the schools that are available to you if you choose to send them, the personality of your kids. You know, mm-hmm. my why mm-hmm. in the beginning was simply because my third grader was drowning mm-hmm. in the public school system, mm-hmm. and we had to take him home. It's not because mm-hmm. I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And it's evolved. My why's evolved a lot. But mm-hmm. I think it's really important that we clarify what that is, mm-hmm. because on the days when we're questioning, why in the world yes. am I doing this? This mm-hmm. is so hard if we're homeschooling them. That really shapes everything. For me, that was really helpful. Even as simple as my why was, it's because my son is drowning. Mm-hmm. That was a really helpful why in the first year of, I have to do this for him.
Yes.
And I have to make those sacrifices because this isn't a just, well, it might be better for him. It was a really clear, mm-hmm. we have to do this for him.
Didn't he like miss most of the last month of school because of
we had to pull
intense
him out.
Stomach aches?
Yeah, he had gastritis brought on by stress, brought on by school.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, wow, he can't even go to school anyway because he has such intense stomach pain because he's so stressed.
Yeah.
And it's completely evolved quickly in the last mm-hmm. year and a half. But I think that that's so important. And my why is going to be different than mm-hmm. another mom's why. Mm-hmm. Than an Instagram mom's why. I mean, mm-hmm. they're supposed to be different because all of our kids are uniquely different. Mm-hmm. And the why for why I'm homeschooling my daughter is different mm-hmm. than why I'm homeschooling my son. And it's become now kind of a family why.
Yes.
Because it's opened us up into, oh, this actually opens up some pretty cool things for our family and living life differently than we were.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And don't I remember you, Elizabeth, at one point saying, I will never homeschool with young ones at home, with toddlers at home.
Oh, I said that on more than one occasion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I mean, I was going to stick to that. Yeah. My plan, my ideal was,
you sure tried.
I'll pull them out in middle school and we'll do some sort of online school and I'll just mm-hmm. manage their education just for middle school and then I'll put them back mm-hmm. in. And then God gave me two toddlers and homeschooling two children. Uh-huh. With that, though, did we say enough on the why, Mom?
Yeah,
oh, you were saying that I thought this was really cool, that just in this weird time that mm-hmm. we find ourselves in of mm-hmm. all of us mm-hmm. being homeschoolers mm-hmm. in some way, shape, or form, that you were saying that it's this unique time that's putting the responsibility back on the parents' shoulders. Mm-hmm. Where really mm-hmm. it kind of always should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. It just seemed like for a number of years, decades even in our country, we drifted to thinking that the school knows best, that the teacher knows best, the curriculum producers know best. Mm-hmm. And so therefore the responsibility of educating our children lies on the shoulders of the experts. And many parents abdicated their responsibility altogether. If the kids didn't do good or do well academically, they just shrugged their shoulders and say, well, that's, you know, the school system's problem, or he's not very smart, mm-hmm. and stopped using their instincts and their intelligence and their own ability to learn, to investigate, and to be super involved with their kids. That super involved doesn't necessarily mean homeschooling. We used to call it, back in the 80s when we were starting to homeschool, it was called after schooling. Mm. So if your child wasn't getting all that he or she needed academically or emotionally or socially from the school, a parent would take that on in the after school hours. Now, mm-hmm. that's very difficult now in an economy that almost requires a double income. But it's still, the concept is really important. The responsibility of educating our kids is on our shoulders all the way through college, mm-hmm. making sure that they have what they need to be successful in school. And you see the parents who stay involved and their kids seem to really thrive all yeah. the way through school, no matter what their particular strengths and weaknesses are. I think this time has given us permission to dive back in
yeah.
and to say, no, we actually do know what's best for our child. We may delegate huge hours of their education to somebody else, but we still are very intimately involved. What's on their spelling test this week? What projects are due yeah. by the end of the year, even in high school? Mm-hmm. I mean, in my high school, I'd recently come from a different culture and a completely different way of doing school. I lived for a number of years overseas and was part of the international school system. So when we got back to the U.S., it was a very different way, freer way of learning, and I was ill-equipped for it. So in my junior year of high school, we're supposed to write this big research project and research paper, both things that I love to do. I like to write. I love to research and read.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it. I failed to do it because I didn't have the organizational ability to break that big of a year-long project into small tasks mm-hmm. and know where to go. So I procrastinated, woke up in the night, many nights, knowing I was in trouble, didn't tell anybody about it, and failed in my favorite subject. That is because parents need to get involved with their kids and yeah. guide them all the way through. Some kids are born like me with just no natural organizational ability. And you, mom or dad, you have great skills in time management. Your kids just need you to be involved again. And this COVID is just helping parents to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Which I think is so good because that was alarming to me when, so we put our kids in school mm-hmm. beginning in kindergarten. And then when we took them out to homeschool, I just have two school age kids. Well, now three, I have a preschooler. But let's see, Scarlett was in second grade when I mm-hmm. took her home and Duke was, no, yes, yeah. Scarlett okay. was in second grade, yeah. Duke was in fourth. And I couldn't believe how, I didn't realize that I was just kind of relinquishing their education to the school. And mm-hmm. just as long as their progress reports were fine and their teacher mm-hmm. said they were doing fine, I really wasn't all that involved in what they were learning. Because Duke would come home and I'd say, how was your day? And he's like, fine, I don't want to talk about it. Like boys don't generally want to tell you everything they learned. Scarlett uh-huh. would talk a little bit more. But I realized when I took them home, Scarlett was a phenomenal reader. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that she was a phenomenal reader. I just thought, okay, she's reading grade level. That's fine. She just needed a little bit of a gentle push to say, why don't you pick up this chapter book? Because she was fully mm-hmm. capable of doing yeah. it. But I needed to invest time into figuring out what kind of book she would be interested mm-hmm. in to push her a little bit more mm-hmm. in a good way to mm-hmm. to help open up her, help her read a little more widely. Mm-hmm. But I realized, man, I had no clue because I really wasn't involved yeah. in that.
And you had two, a baby yeah. and a toddler at
yeah.
home.
Yeah. And then our son, I didn't realize how much he was struggling because mm-hmm. he was so, the teachers would rave about him and how well behaved he was. But what's actually being uncovered now is the very likely possibility that he's dyslexic. Mm-hmm. And the schools didn't catch mm-hmm. it. I didn't catch it.
Amazing.
He just was telling me, I'm just not smart, mom. Everybody knows the answer before I do. Mm. And school was so laborious for him. Like just the antithesis of anything enjoyable.
Yeah.
And I didn't catch that and didn't know. And yeah. I don't say that as like a feel guilty that you're not involved in your kids' education. No. I think what it was eye-opening to me was the parts of their life that I was missing because I wasn't mm-hmm. investing in being involved. And mm-hmm. you can do that whether you're homeschooling or mm-hmm. not. And I think yes. that's what was eye-opening to me. Mm-hmm. There's a book, Oh, Susan McCauley, I think is who it's by. For the Sake of the Children or For the Children's Sake. I always get the title mixed up. It's amazing. It's so good. But she talks a lot about that, of the difference between a child who is in a public school and their parents are really involved in the child's life. And they're talking about at the dinner table, what did you learn today? And they're all talking about it as a family and they're really involved, and how that child can thrive in really any academic setting that they're in, versus a child who is in a public school and the parents are really busy and they're not connected and not involved, and how they can flounder. And same is true of homeschool. I feel like especially as kids get older, it can be easy to be like, oh, well, they're doing their stuff independently. They're doing fine.
Right.
And not fully know like the inner world that's happening inside of them. So good. Okay. So another thing that I want to ask you about that is massively something I'm going through, and I we did like a ask people on Instagram to submit questions. We're going to do a Q&A. But I was cracking up over how many times we got asked pretty much the same question about how do you homeschool with toddlers and babies, which we're totally going to address more. But I think something that I've been learning is the need to accept and realize the season of homeschooling that you might be in, whether it's you have babies and toddlers, whether it's you're working from home and doing distance learning, and that's the season that you're in, and how do you kind of shed the ideals, which we're going to talk about too, and come face to face with the reality of this is the season of homeschool that we are in, and to be present in it and enjoy it, rather than trying to look outside of it and wishing that it was a different time, or which I think is where all of us find ourselves. Even those of us who are already homeschooling, we're having to homeschool in a different way. We're home all the time.
All the time.
Co-ops are canceled. Like, you know, it's a, we can't just go do the normal things that we would be doing. So talk about that. Like, I feel like that's been really stretching for me to, I know the season of homeschooling I wish I was in, but the reality is I have two, you know, middle upper elementary, and then I have a special needs preschooler and a very, very two-year-old.
And they're very disruptive to an atmosphere that you're trying to create of academic learning and curiosity. And
with a little bit of screaming thrown in.
You know, I was saying to you yesterday, I just am so proud of your fourth Sloan little girl, because I thought she would be in danger of this very articulate, talking, constantly communicating family, that she would kind of get lost in the shuffle. And there is just no chance in this world that a Sloan is going to let herself get lost in the
shuffle. She's two, and we're already having to coach her to not be too loud because she is so loud. We're having to coach her. No, you can say that quieter. You don't need to scream that you're ready to be wiped up.
It works really well at top volume.
She does get our attention.
I think this is a really crucial question to answer now, wherever you are in your stage of homeschooling, because it's not just a question that we have that has to do with homeschooling. It's a question that has to do with all of life. How can I actually be content with where I am right now? How I can be satisfied instead of always living in the future? And as an idealist myself, I am always living in the future. And come back to earth and remind myself that today, this day, this week, this COVID season, this stage of my life is where God has me, and he wants to do things in me in the midst of all of this. And something about homeschooling that I don't ever think I've seen addressed, but that I certainly experienced, is it grew me up in so many areas of my life, because it's all-encompassing. It's not like a job that you endure and then you go home until the next day. It's constant and it never stops. And you see, and it all falls in you. It's almost like owning your own business, but you are the only employee. And so a success or failure seems to fall on you. And so all of your flaws come out. For me, it was organizational skills. I had to learn to do what was hard for my brain to do. and organize things because there was too much to do. And I couldn't just do what I naturally, as an Enneagram 9, love to do, which is just kind of fling myself at my day and see what happens and gets done. I mean, I had to schedule every minute of my day. And then I remember talking to Tammy, my daughter-in-law, who's similar to me, and saying I actually learned from an organized person at that time to schedule my entire day in 3-hour increments. And then during these 3 hours, this is what I get done the next 3 hours, and how helpful it was to a person like me. Now, I wouldn't prescribe that to you, Elizabeth, because you would be like 3 hours on the second hand.
I was going to say, I'm like the opposite. Yes. It's stretching me to listen to the cues of my children and to adapt as we're going, because that's not my natural bent. But I so resonate with what you said. I feel like the last year and a half of homeschooling has been one of the hardest things I've ever done, but has been like a pressure cooker for growth.
Yes. I
feel like, although it's painful, and I don't mean to like idealize it and say it's been so good because it's been so good for me, it's been horrifically hard. Yeah. I mean, in the first 6 months, I think I said every day, enroll them, put them back in. Like, I'm putting them back in school. I can't do this. At one point, I even called the school and asked what the enrollment process would be to put my daughter back in school. So I have lots of stories, but I do feel like I'm seeing the fruit of how hard that first year was in how I've been able to approach this year. And I'm still fumbling my way through it. And I think it's going to be, I don't know that I'll ever feel like, oh, I figured it out. But I think it's even going to be a few years still that I feel like some kinks have been worked out of really my own, in my own soul. But I do feel like I can start now to see, oh, I'm less uptight than I was last year. And I'm listening to my kids more. And I'm choosing to see the things that they actually are learning rather than just focusing on all the things I wish we were getting to. So I think that that's so true. And I think that for anybody listening who is feeling like I did last year, of, oh my gosh, this is so hard. It looks so much better on Instagram. And I've got one kid that it's working great for, and this other kid is in tears every day. That was us last year. Duke was thriving. Scarlett was in tears, or I was in tears with her every single day.
Wow.
And I've seen her grow so much. She's doing so much better. But I've had to adapt and adapt and adapt because she learns differently than I do, differently than Duke does, and she needs totally different things. And I about sucked all of the joy out of second grade all of last year for her. But yeah, I just feel like it is all that hard really is really fruitful.
It is.
It really is.
And it refines us. But it's hard.
Yes.
And there's a natural thing to want to get out of hard.
Totally.
Especially when hard is by your own choice, as it was for you last year. Or it's also very tempting to just complain and blame.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into a neighbor who meant well the other day, and she said, my kids are driving me crazy. And you know, I overheard my mom say that once, and you don't forget those kind of things. And I think we have to be very careful to edit our attitudes. Those kind of attitudes need to be come before the Lord and say, Lord, in all honesty, my kids are hitting every one of my buttons and I'm not even being myself. You know, I remember homeschooling and thinking I was not an angry or irritable person. Not me. I was cured of that self-deception really fast because all of a sudden I saw the stupid things that I got so irritated with. Things that didn't have anything to do with my real values.
Yeah.
But, and taking things personally when my kids were not learning very well or didn't try very hard.
I think it's all a reflection of us. But Mike Duke literally said to me yesterday, because I was trying to homeschool all of them, like get in a full school day. And then I was coming over to Portland to record this with you. And I was so stressed. Everybody was in a bad mood. It just was like roadblock after roadblock. And the whole time I'm thinking, why did I even try to do school today? I should just, if I'm trying to go somewhere, they should do math and read. And that's all we should do. But of course, I had to check all of my boxes because I'm still an idealist. But Duke, like right at the end, we had just finished, he goes, Mom, you're making us so stressed. It's like you're just mad at everybody, but we're not actually doing anything. And he said it like he didn't mean, he wasn't actually being disrespectful.
No.
But as soon as he said it, I was like, I just kind of started laughing. I said, you are right. I am so stressed out. I'm trying to get what everybody needs. And you're right. I'm just being mean to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there are lots of days like that. But I think just being able to even talk about that, I can't even tell you how many times I've had to apologize to my kids in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And they forgive me over and over and over again.
And they learn about grace in the process.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. And one question I would just challenge moms right now is to ask themselves, you've just added this huge burden of homeschool or distance learning or online learning, whatever is your situation. What might I need to release during this time? But be honest with yourself. For me, I'm a neat freak. Before we even started the podcast, I had to make sure every pencil was straight and everything was out of the way, because otherwise my brain just, I don't know, just doesn't focus very well. So when I used to hear that, what might you need to release during this time? I immediately would think, well, I have to not be so worried about the order of the house, just having things in order. And that's unrealistic for who I am. I need things to be tidy. This is well before the time that all of you, your generation has ushered in of simplifying and minimalistic.
Minimalism
would have been so much smarter than the 80s, which was an excess of doodads all over my house and plants that I consistently killed. But be honest with yourself. What do I need to release during this time? And what can I release that I can actually live with? There might be some relationships that are really more of an obligation that you're hanging on to because you want to be the good friend, but they're really no longer your responsibility.
Yeah.
There are some friendships that won't survive COVID, won't survive you making the choice to homeschool. There are just some friendships that were for a season and are not forever. And when somebody once told me that, it was such a relief because I was hanging on to some friends that were just draining me because I thought I needed to be a good friend.
You know what? You told me that growing up and I hated it when you said that.
It sounds so mean.
So mean, so disloyal. Mm-hmm. I was going to make these friendships work. I remember being so mad at you whenever you would say that. And I can't tell you how many times I've shared that with women now that I'm an adult. Because I think sometimes we just need the freedom to say it's okay if that person is not our bestest friend.
Yes.
Like it doesn't mean we can't love them. It doesn't mean we don't still enjoy being around them. But some friendships we can't maintain in all seasons, and that's okay.
In this unique time that we are all finding ourselves in, many of us are doing things that we never thought we would once do, and that even includes cutting our own children's hair. And we want to introduce you to something called Barber Mom. Barber Mom is an online course that teaches parents how to cut kids' hair. Now, there's different modules, and every module has high-quality videos and a quiz so you learn everything you need to know to make your kids look like $1 million while saving $1,000 or more dollars. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have ever tried to cut your own kids' hair at home, this could be and was for us disastrous. We tried to cut Duke's hair and oh my goodness, it was disastrous. And we are so thankful for Barber Mom. Now, how it works is you'll get a lifetime access to courses that teach you how to cut boys and girls' hair taught by true professionals. You can save lots of money, you can learn a new skill, and you can also know how the haircutting process actually works and make life easier for you and less stressful for you. We would love to offer this to you. And so all you need to do is go to barbermom.com and use the promo code intentional. Again, that's barbermom.com. Enter the promo code intentional for $10 off a lifetime membership.
You know, I told this story of when I began to lose my hearing in my late 20s, how some friends just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
It really, some of them were the softest, gentlest, most sympathetic and compassionate friends. And they just couldn't speak in a way that that was assertive enough for me to even be able to hear what they said.
Yeah.
And it was grievous to me, but that's when my mentor shared with me some friendships are just not meant to be mm-hmm. forever. And that's just true. Other things that we may need to get rid of is the illusion of perfection. Mm. Notice that I say illusion.
Yeah.
Because you and I, both of us, as trying not to be perfectionists, know that it is an illusion.
Yeah,
I can make my house look perfect on the outside as I bustle around throwing everything into the laundry room, closing the door. And that is just a metaphor for all of life.
Yep.
So getting rid of the illusion of perfection, the sooner we do this, the sooner we not only have our own personal freedom, but our friends relax around mm-hmm. us. As much as I like my house to be perfectly neat and tidy, my best friends, those whose houses I most enjoy being at, are always just slightly messy.
Yep.
Because at those house, it's like, okay, my shoes in the way is not going to upset anybody.
Yeah.
And getting rid of that illusion of perfections or the reluctance to ask for help.
Yes.
Because I just thought this was my idea to homeschool. It wasn't legal at the time. Okay. So it was kind of an underground thing in the 80s in California. You kind of stayed under the radar. I talked my husband, I talked your dad into it because I just so was caught up in the idealism that I believed it was the right thing for us to do.
Yeah.
Therefore, I thought I can't ask him or anybody else for help because this is my choice.
Yeah.
And therefore, quite often had my own meltdowns because it was more than I could handle.
Yeah.
It was much more than I could handle. And I tried to also not inconvenience anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't say no to anybody. As a pastor's wife, it was a very high expectation that pastor's wives be very involved in their husband's ministries and be at everything, be at women's Bible study. Well, I just got to a certain point where I could no longer afford an entire morning of not homeschooling my kids in order to do women's Bible study, much as I loved women's Bible study. So I had to be okay with disappointing some people mm-hmm. who might not understand what I was doing. These are all healthy things I needed in my life to learn.
Yeah.
Maybe there are some unhelpful routines that are gobbling up all sorts of time.
Yeah.
When I realized in my quest, my lifelong quest, to read every single self-help book on time management and then actually try and do them, there are 16 hours that you're awake every day, assuming you sleep 8 hours a night. 16 hours. That's wow. a lot of time.
Yeah.
And more I was realizing how much of that time I just blew. I acted like there were only 8 hours in every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 16 hours were for, well, we didn't have social media back then. And we hardly ever had a TV. So I have no idea what I did with
you. You read a lot of books.
Yes. But are there some time wasters that you think are just normal that are no longer useful now that you're homeschooling your kids?
I think that's so good. And I think with that too, I know we talked a lot about like, what are the things you need to say no to? But mm-hmm. I also think you also need to ask yourself, what are the things I need to say yes to?
Okay.
In order to be able to do this maybe mm-hmm. less than ideal season of homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And those maybe things that you need to say yes to as a family, because maybe you all just need to have mm-hmm. a regular rhythm of having fun together.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your kids need certain things because mm-hmm. they're struggling with being home. Like our son is super introverted. He wants to be home all the time. But he had one friend who was his age and a boy
mm-hmm.
That lived in our neighborhood, and he just moved.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his cousins who are his best friends live in Portland, 3 hours away. And so he's super depressed about that. Mm-hmm. And depressed would be the accurate word. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's really bummed about that. And he's not even super social. But I've realized a need in our homeschool rhythm right now is I need to go find families mm-hmm. that have a boy mm-hmm. his age. So we have a ton of friends, but they all have girls. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are girls his age and stuff like that, which is great. And he's friends with them. But he still needs a boy. Like yes. he just to go do boy things.
He doesn't have any brothers.
Yeah. So yeah. that's a new need our family's never had. But mm-hmm. I've realized, oh, I now have to make that our need mm-hmm. because he really needs that. And that's the only way he's going to thrive in our mm-hmm. homeschool setup. Mm-hmm. But I think more specifically, and this is really important, is for moms to be asking themselves, what do I need
yes.
in order to be able to do this?
Yes.
And in all honesty, like for me, and this is not going to be what everybody needs, but I need to wake up before the kids and I need exercise first mm-hmm. thing in the morning. If it doesn't mm-hmm. happen first thing in the morning, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And that's not because I'm this hyper-disciplined person. Although I have more of that natural bent, I actually enjoy exercise yeah. and I enjoy time yeah. alone. So that's not going to be the same for everybody. But those are things I enjoy, I'm passionate about. Mm-hmm. But that means we don't start our homeschool day sitting down having breakfast together. Mm-hmm. I would love mm-hmm. to do that. I would love to be able to do both. Mm-hmm. That sounds like ideal, like mm-hmm. it would be best for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I can't have alone time in the morning, exercise, take a shower, cook breakfast for everybody and have everybody yeah. sitting at the table at 7 o'clock when they all wake up and want uh-huh. breakfast, uh-huh. you know? Uh-huh. So I've had to realize and someday I really hope that we will all start our homeschool day over breakfast and a read aloud. Like yeah. that sounds great. Yeah. But for our season of homeschooling and when my kids wake up and all of that, I have to say no to that and I have yeah. to say yes to having what mm-hmm. I need to start the day mm-hmm. so that we can all be able to do this season of yeah. homeschooling.
Yeah.
And that I have to fight that all mm-hmm. the time of, oh, but mm-hmm. what, but I think our day would flow so much better if we started it that way. but I know I wouldn't flow so much better exactly. if we started exactly. it that way. So, but that, I mean, that kind of brings us to mm-hmm. just the last thing I think is we've been talking about this, but mm-hmm. just really shedding the ideal of either what we want it to be or what we think everyone else must mm-hmm. in fact be doing mm-hmm. because that's what we see in our media feeds or mm-hmm. or somehow have crafted this illusion that that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. this has been the biggest, I don't know, just thing that I feel like I'm having to learn every day and not, mm-hmm. I didn't learn it last year. I haven't conquered it now. It's an everyday. Mm-hmm. What am I idealizing? Mm-hmm. What am I adding to our plan for the week that is actually more than we are capable of mm-hmm. in this season of homeschooling? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just shedding that idealism that, I mean, I know some of us are more naturally more idealistic. Both you and I yes. are, totally. Yeah. But I think that in our cultural moment, given media and all mm-hmm. of that, I think it's made all of us idealists
yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways. Because mm-hmm. no matter what your personality is, when you see the illusion of you know, the homeschool rhythm or the home life or whatever that you think is everybody else's mm-hmm. reality, mm-hmm. you feel less than. And you yeah. feel like you're missing the mark. You feel like you should yeah. be doing more.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like there's very few people who don't struggle with that in mm-hmm. some way, shape, or form. There's right, those of right. us who are, we just plan for the ideal all the time, and then we are let down by the fact that that's never actually exactly. attainable.
Yeah.
But yeah, can you talk about that? Like how, I mean, it was a different time when you were homeschooling. There mm-hmm. wasn't social media, but I'm sure you still felt,
oh,
it was still more in like the like perfect homemaker
yes.
reality yes. of I'm going to wear my heels and vacuum.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It was way more like that. It was more like all these things that I was supposed to do and be.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I'm like a square peg in a round hole. I mm-hmm. do not fit. And instead of investigating that and coming to God and asking him, but who am I supposed to be? Who did you create me to be? Mm-hmm. Instead, I just felt so much shame and idealized women who were what I've heard called your ego ideal, which is if you could be like anybody, this is the person I would be like. And of course, for me, it was always somebody extremely skinny and gorgeous and stylish on an incredible budget and who kept everything perfect and was super organized and can do it all. You know, the multitasker.
Also known as our Instagram feeds.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And then I just felt so shame. I just felt like, what is my problem? Why can't I keep up? Was my constant cry.
Yes.
And just like, it's almost like the story in Exodus of Pharaoh, who the slaves of Egypt, the Israelites were slaves. And because he felt threatened, he kept making the Israelites make more bricks, ever more bricks. And we do it to ourselves. It's like, don't be Pharaoh. Don't tell yourself you need to be making ever more bricks.
Yeah.
Because you are just not, just you'll just get uptight and nobody will be having fun in the process.
Welcome to our first year of homeschooling.
But here's what I've come to believe, wish I'd known.
Yeah. This,
you know, sometimes what you wish you'd known is the most valuable thing that you can pass on. But I wish I had understood when my children were young is that God had made me specifically who I am and designed with purposes in mind for me, and that I was appointed to be their mother.
Yeah.
Therefore, I had things to offer my children that nobody else could offer my kids.
Yep.
And I needed to learn what those things were. And for me, I would say of the two, and I'm not just talking about idealistic, abstract concepts here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about actual. What could I bring to the table of my children's education that nobody else was going to be able to do quite like me?
Yeah.
For me, my love of reading. I mean, I don't think I've ever lived a day of my life since about fourth grade since I haven't read.
Yeah.
Read a book. Sat down before I go to sleep. Sometime, usually multiple times, I read because it's almost just like an addiction to me. I just need to be reading all the time. I could bring that passion, which brought with it my hundreds of books, my love of the library.
Mm-hmm. Which just created great writers. Like, just,
So I could bring a passion for reading. And an honest to goodness love and curiosity for learning. Learning is energizing to me. Learn anything. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean I'll keep learning about it. I like to learn about lots of things.
Yeah.
Those two things were what I could bring uniquely to my children. Of course, I did not know that at the time. I thought I needed to be my ego ideal of the perfectly organized person who would just perfectly organize their school and always finish every curriculum on June 10th. I didn't bring any of that to them. But every one of my four kids, with all their different ways of being in the world, love to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't necessarily say everybody loves to read like I do, but they turn to reading, go for reading when it's time to learn something or solve a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, I learned how to go running. I didn't think I knew how to run. So I bought a book. And by step, follow the instructions of learning how to go running. I mean, not all of you are like that, but I notice it with you, Elizabeth. You may not spend hours reading stories and biographies and stuff. But when you need to learn the next thing, immerse yourself in books to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? I would just ask you, in fact, go before God with this one. Mm-hmm. Ask the Spirit of God, what is it that what sort of unique beauty do you bring to your child's learning experience?
Yes.
And that, don't undervalue that for some sort of false ego ideal. That is precious. It is a gift that your child will have for flourishing for the rest of their lives. And remember, no one on this earth cares about your child as much as you do, in the same way that you do. Mm-hmm. That is right there enough to make you the queen of homeschooling your child.
Mm. I cannot think of a better way to end that. That is so good, Mom. Thank you so much for speaking to all of us who are in the thick of this,
in the middle of it,
and attempting to shed those ideals and sometimes need to be taken up from the weeds of the day-to-day and to see above the clouds and to ask, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. What do we need to accept about the season that we're mm-hmm. in? How do we shed those ideals? Mm-hmm. And for those of you listening who are like, this is great, this is helpful, but I need practical, mm-hmm. we are going to do a couple episodes just answering your questions mm-hmm. and getting a lot more practical. So stick around for those. Those will be releasing soon.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit, and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.